KDW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the
ABC
Civic
News,
Media
I'm
app.
Justin Finch. A chaotic scene in Florida as shots were fired on a crowded boardwalk. It happened in Hollywood, just south of Fort Lauderdale. ABC's Victor Okendo is there.
An eyewitness says he saw several young men fighting in front of the stores when one pulled out a gun and started shooting.
Preliminary investigation reveals that there was an altercation between two groups that resulted in gunfire. Right now, we do have one person of interest detained, and right now we're also searching for an additional suspect.
Overnight, police releasing surveillance video, the suspected gunman wearing a yellow sweatshirt.
A rare drone attack in Moscow. Some buildings were lightly damaged, but the drones were stopped before they could do much else. Russia blames Ukraine. That country's capital city of Kyiv bombarded by Russian airstrikes again on Sunday. President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy reaching agreement on the debt ceiling. A House vote expected tomorrow. This is ABC News. Officials in Davenport, Iowa, now re-evaluating plans about taking down an apartment building that partially collapsed over the weekend. ABC's Alex Perez is there.
Officials say they have a huge concern about the stability of this structure and the safety of the surrounding area, so they've planned to have it demolished. An exact cause of the collapse remains under investigation.
And it's happened again.
Two inmates escaping from a Mississippi jail just weeks after four inmates broke out of the same facility. Officials at the Raymond Detention Center say Michael Lewis and Joseph Spring climbed through the ceiling of the rec room into an air duct, got outside. Sheriff Tyree Jones.
Once again, I know I apologize before, and here we are once again, and I'm apologizing to the people of Hinds County.
Jones says the jail's just poorly built with too many ways to get out and that a new facility is planned, but until it's built,
we are going to have to put more money into the Raymond Detention Center.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantner. Here's what you need to know. Home sales are down in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Realtors Association says existing home sales in April are down 32.5% compared to last year, largely due to a lack of inventory. And that means it remains a seller's market, with buyers facing plenty of competition and high prices. In order to get back to a more balanced state, Wisconsin would have to add 21,000 listings, more than double the number that are currently for sale. If you're going to be visiting state parks in Wisconsin this weekend, you may want to stop at less popular destinations. The DNR says it's expecting big crowds over the long weekend at Devil's Lake State Park. Alternatives include Mirror Lake, Governor Dodge, Natural Bridge State Park, Pike Lake, and the Great Sauk Trail. I'm Jane Mantner. This is Civic Media News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
VA has a new life insurance program for veterans with service-connected disabilities called Veterans Affairs Life Insurance, or VA Life. VA Life benefits include up to $40,000 in coverage, no medical questions to enroll, and no time limit to apply if you are age 80 or under. Veterans can apply, receive an instant decision, and manage their policy online. Learn more about VA Life or apply online by visiting va.gov/life-insurance. Protect those who matter most with VA Life Insurance.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local civic media radio station.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISN. And WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole. Over on
if you are 45 and older, don't let but stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a
good
party, man.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother.
Good morning and welcome
there's far
to the early
too many
show.
Of you dying.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty well. It's going to be a scorcher today, I think.
Hey, what's the alternative?
Better, you're right on that one.
How was the holiday?
It was well, refreshing.
Yeah, man. And yeah, well, so I can't, well... You know, Saturday I was a part of what is called Heal the Hood, and I was on the grill, and I prepared chicken for 240 people. It's more than a notion to be on a grill cooking barbecuing 240 pieces of chicken and almost 200 hot dogs. And that was just on Saturday, and then I had to do my own. I don't ever want to see a grill again in my life. But anyway, good morning, and my guest is on the line, none other than State Senator Evan Gorky, one of my favorite politicians. I'm going to treat you right, man, because you're always right. I'm not going to refer to you as a politrickster.
Well, you just gave me you started by giving me a promotion because I'm
still a rep.
I'm only in the state. Yeah, well, it's the best house. You know, there's this ongoing competition and feud between the Assembly and Senate always.
Right.
So yeah, no, I've got to represent the Assembly appropriately here.
Well, listen, man, you are always battling wherever you are, and that's a great thing, man. How's mom and dad?
They're doing great. They had a good weekend, restful. Looking forward to seeing them this week.
So we're going to talk about politics, definitely. But, man, I remember you bought this. You bought this, what used to seem, it looks like an old hotel.
Feels like that sometimes. And
in Milwaukee, you said that house is how old?
It was built in 1894.
Calvin, can you imagine a house? And I referred to it as a hotel because it's not just a house. At one point in time, it must have been a house, right?
Yeah, it was built as a single family home. And then, for probably 50 years, it was a rooming house, 10 different apartments. And, you know, we still get mail for unit number 6, unit number 7, and it's interesting. The house could tell lots of stories.
And I remember when you first bought it, and I went by and I saw it, and I thought,
I'm laughing. I know
this cat is out of his mind.
Well, we should add some context, Earl. The house was empty and vacant for a couple of years. Bought it out of foreclosure. And just so that listeners understand, I suck at home repair. At the time, I don't even think I owned a hammer or a drill or anything. It was like, well, we're going to do our best and see. And so little by little, room by room. And you asked me earlier this morning, how far am I in 12 years? And I gave you the honest answer of 40%. So this house is never going to be totally done. It'll be a lifelong project.
8 bedrooms.
Yeah. Yep.
How many baths?
2 full, 2 halves.
2 fulls, 2 halves. And I would take, they're all wooden floors, natural
wood. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hardwood floors, tall ceilings. And, you know, this wasn't the plan, but what has happened because we have the extra space is our home becomes home base for everybody, right? So, okay, where are we meeting for Mother's Day or Easter or 4th of July? There is no questions asked. We got a nice big yard for the kids to play in too. So I love it because it has become kind of the heart, the home base for our family. And, you know, it's a really tight-knit family, and that's important that we have a space to gather in.
How many windows?
It's like 50 something. All original, all leaky. It's like a percussion set sometimes in a windstorm. Everything's rattling. And I'll tell you, Earl, sometimes when I'm traveling for work, I can't sleep in the quiet anymore. I need the rattle and the creak and I need the furnace to make a weird noise. That's now my comfort zone.
So it's a good thing you're a barrister, man. You know, because you're going to need to be. Let me, furnace man, that can't be. I mean, the furnace has to be huge.
It is. It's a newer furnace.
Oh, you got a newer furnace. You put it in?
Got a newer furnace. No. Right before the previous owner lost it to foreclosure. So that's a project I'm sure we'll have to take on in the future. Let me say, the furnace is small, but the house is cold. So yeah. if we do have to upgrade, we're going to have to address that.
So a basement from 1894, damp, dark.
Yeah, dark ghosts. You know, like the old stones that they built it by hand. It is.
Hey, so let me ask you. So I was thinking that the furnace was like Home Alone when he first walks down there, right? And I got to think the attic has to be kind of creepy too.
Oh yeah, for sure. When we have people come over, I had a plumber once come into the basement because there were 8 bedrooms or there were 10 units. Each unit had a gas stove and a radiator and a gas light. So that you go down in my basement and it is like 100 different pipes going in different directions. So the only person or company or the type of people I got to come over, I got to get the old school guys. You know, a 20-year-old walks into my house as a plumbing apprentice and they might as well turn around because they've never seen anything like it.
So when your wife saw this, she had to think. So you saw it first, right?
Yeah, I had seen it first, and I had the vision of what it could become or what it still might become.
You have to envision it first, right?
Yeah. You know, my wife and I have very different paths, right? She grew up in the city of Milwaukee on the south side, and I think for much of her life saw a path to a more suburban community.
Right.
That's the type of community I grew up in, and I've always dreamt of a path away from that. And so, you know, we're happy here. It did take some convincing. You know, my wife will tell people the story that, you know, had we been married when we, you know, had it been a joint decision at the time, she would have ensured it didn't get made, you know.
So,
but I'll tell you, Earl, man, I just, one last thing. I was touring some houses in the city that were way worse than mine. You know, we were looking at water and fire damage. Right. We I wanted to take and reclaim a house in the city on the north side. That was important to me when I was deciding where to live and where to put down roots. I wanted there to be, I wanted to try to walk the walk of the kind of the, what I represent and what I try to focus on and work.
Well, you didn't have any other choice. That's your dad.
And,
yeah, yeah, and, that was and an your mom, and they're those kind of people, and so you didn't have any other choice in the matter. But you got this major brood, and so so are you sure there's going to be enough room for you and the family right now?
We could fill, yeah. What we could keep going, yeah. We could have I mean, there's a lot of space, and again, it has just turned it. We haven't really talked about it, but it's a really unique, cool neighborhood called the Historic Concordia. We live just near 27th and State, so kind of near West Side, near North Side. A lot of history, a lot of great people in the neighborhood. We really love it.
And the fact that people who may not know it, that area is under, it's changing. And so there are people, homeless people who live In your area.
Absolutely.
And people may wonder, you have to be out of your mind. But I always say to people, you're early in what's going to be taking place in that area. It's got a lot of character. Many of those houses are like yours. And at some point in time, people with tremendous wealth used to live there.
Right. Absolutely. That's the history. You know, the beer barons, the kind of big industrialists of Milwaukee's early days had big mansions over here. And you know, a lot of those are gone and the neighborhood has changed a lot over the centuries. But what I like about it, it is really diverse. It's a neighborhood, though. We know each other. We talk to each other. We see each other. We're in each other's lives for better or worse. Right. I like feeling attached to the world around us, and you know, there are challenges, but you know, really resilient neighborhood that gathers together around those challenges.
Well, it's a testament to you, who you are, man. Again, your family. We've got to go to a break, but when we come back, we're going to get into some politics.
Sounds good.
Yeah, you know, man. I all this time, and I knew when you were a rep. And I just assume because of your activeness in state issues, not just on the rep level, but all of it, that you you know, were a senator. But okay,
no, don't do that to me.
Guess we got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mr. Evan Gorky. He is a state representative you know, a guy who may have to have some tests run on him by the time he's done trying to redo that really, you know, it reminds me of the old horror movies, man. The house. Like
oh,
yours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The basement for sure. Yeah. The basement for sure. What I like about this conversation, Earl, is you know, I love talking about work and politics and policy, but people never get to know anything about us. And, you know, we are generally almost normal people.
Yeah. All right. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with highs around 85. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 59. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 87. Temperatures well above average Thursday and Friday, with highs in the upper 80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 71.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm joined by Representative Evan Goyke. So, Representative Goyke, where to begin? So, Robin Voss, and, you know, when you've been around a little while like I have, and you've seen Robin Voss in action as long as I have, and you've seen him at every opportunity he could do everything he could to hurt the city of Milwaukee for as long as he's been in his position of leadership, and you know the pain that our city is experiencing and going through economically, and then we have a new mayor and a new county executive, both really, I know them both well, young men, great young men, and now all of a sudden, Robin Voss is willing to have a dialogue and a conversation that he wouldn't have a decade before. What's taking place, Representative Goyke? Why now?
Well, you know, I do give credit to the mayor and to the county executive for, you know, adopting a new strategy to deal with the legislature and Republican leaders. You told at the very beginning of your show, you told Calvin when he said it was going to be too hot for his liking, you said, what's the alternative? And so if you're one of those two young men, if you're Executive Crowley or Mayor Johnson, what's the alternative? Is, you know, you could ignore Madison, but you know, to do nothing would be quite painful. So, and I know that those two guys have gotten a lot of heat and opposition for engaging with the speaker and with legislative leaders in the Republican Party, but they have to. So look, I mean, I think it started, I can point to, for me, 2 years ago, Cavalier was then Common Council president, and Crowley had just been elected, and they showed up in Rhinelander. All right. So there was a hearing with the Joint Committee on Finance, a public hearing up in Rhinelander, and they took the time to drive up there. And, you know, they said their piece for a couple minutes to the committee, but they, you know, took that opportunity to kind of go into rural Republican territory and meet some of those people when the cameras weren't rolling and there weren't anybody listening. They just you got to develop a relationship, a trust. And, you know, I think that opened the door to begin the conversation. The other thing, Earl, is that we've gotten closer to this cliff, right? We know that January 1st of 2025, without any kind of intervention or change, the city will face massive, massive cuts, and that will impact the entire region and the state of Wisconsin.
You know, and I want to be clear. I don't blame Cavalier, the mayor, or the county executive for attempting to heal whatever divide that has been there under then county executive Chris Abley and then Mayor Tom Barrett, because they've been trying to get a sales tax for many years that was clearly denied in Madison. And I never understood, unless there was something personal, why the legislature would not provide the city of Milwaukee an opportunity in Milwaukee County to raise a sales tax, which all over the nation, comparable cities like Milwaukee had been allowed to do that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're accurate. Basically, every other community the size of Milwaukee has some kind of local option taxation. In some communities, it's a big mix of different areas, but most common is the sales tax. And obviously there was personal issues between Republican leaders and Mayor Barrett, right? He ran against Walker twice. And so there was, you know, deep animosity there. I think there's a small group of Republicans that are okay with watching the city go down. I think there's another group of Republicans that kind of don't know what to do. They don't want that to happen, but they don't know what to do. And then there's the group that's been, you know, engaged with the mayor and the county exec trying to solve something. And I'm saying all of these things. I voted against the bill. I don't think it's a final product I think we could improve it substantially, but I think it's undeniable that the fact that there is a bill to deliver this for the first time in my lifetime is progress.
I think it says a lot that as astute a politician as you are, you said no to the bill, understanding the impact of what will happen if the bill is shot down. I mean, right. That's something, you know, to be said about it, because many of us don't know what's in the bill, and you guys do. And so there must be something pretty egregious that, having heard what you just said about 2025, January 2025, that even in the face of that, you could say no.
Well, I'm happy to get into the details of the proposal. And I think my position has always been wanting to get to yes, coming to the table with different proposals, counter proposals, but the goal being something's got to happen, because that cliff is real and it is painful, and neighborhoods like mine will feel it very severely, and it's avoidable. It just, we got to keep working to get to the best product possible.
All right, got to go to the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is State Representative Evan Goyke. You can join us. We'll be right back.
Fox Valley, regional and state news and commentary. For us to find common ground, Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Boardwalk shooting on the beach in Hollywood, Florida. 9 people were shot and wounded, including a 1-year-old baby. One person is in custody, but police are still searching for another person. A series of drone attacks in Moscow. Russia claims they're from Ukraine in retaliation for airstrikes over the weekend on Kyiv. 3 in less than 24 hours. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge is in Kharkiv, Ukraine, with more.
We are right near the border with Russia. The Kremlin escalating its missile and drone attacks on Ukraine. And this morning, a dramatic twist. An upmarket district of Moscow under attack from a swarm of explosive drones. Explosions not far from President Putin's country residence.
A debt ceiling deal between President Biden and Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. It was reached over the weekend, and now the work continues on building enough support to get it past Congress before the default date on June 5th. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Baseball's commissioner says Wisconsin needs to meet its obligation to keep up American Family Field. Rob Manfred was in Milwaukee yesterday to make his case. Milwaukee County board member Steve Taylor says he has mixed feelings.
Well, I don't want to see the Milwaukee Brewers go somewhere else. I mean, that's what's happening in Oakland. And so 2030 is coming. I just don't think it's right that the taxpayers foot the bill.
Governor Evers wants the legislature to use part of the state's $7 billion surplus to meet the public's ballpark maintenance obligations. A new report says all but 3 University of Wisconsin campuses will lose money next year. System President Jay Rothman is pushing lawmakers for more money for the UW system in the state budget. In sports, the Giants blanked the Brewers last night 5-0. Milwaukee starts Freddie Peralta tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Baseball and hot dogs, they go together like front porches and rocking chairs. And with Village Hearth Buns, you don't have to go to your local ballpark to enjoy a really good hot dog. Just grill up a package of quality Franks and serve with your favorite toppings on a Village Hearth bun. They're the same delicious buns served at baseball stadiums throughout the Midwest. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Moving Day, a walk for Parkinson's, is happening around the country. Together we can unite in the fight against Parkinson's disease in a safe but exciting and fun way. So let's get moving. Join the Parkinson's Foundation to learn more and register at movingdaywalk.org.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is State Representative Evan Goyke. You know, Evan, we were talking about before the break about what's in the bill. We've heard snippets of it. So what's in the bill? Some of the things in the bill that you could kind of not agree with.
Well, let me set the stage, I think, appropriately with a little bit of backdrop and context, because it's important, I think, before talking about some of the challenges with the bill. So employees of the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County are in their own pension system. They're the only two municipal or public governments in Wisconsin not part of the statewide system. And those two local pensions have really struggled, not because of mismanagement. There's lots of big global factors affecting pension funds. But the important context for this is that we would move new hires for the city and the county into the state's pension system, and the city and county would, in essence, get out of the pension game. And we would raise a sales tax, 2% with the city, 0.375% at the county, to pay off, largely to pay off those pension costs. We have to put cash into the account every year to ensure people get the pension that they're owed. If we did not do that, we would be sued and we could be taken to court, and that would be pretty painful. If there's more money with the city sales tax, that additional revenue has to go to pay for police and fire and EMS, and that as that revenue grows, so too does the number of police officers and firefighters until we hit a threshold in state law. I think that kind of framework I could certainly live with. The challenges that I mentioned earlier are that alongside the increased sales tax comes a change in how the city and county self-govern. So, for example, this state law would say that we could not use any of our taxation for diversity, equity, inclusion efforts. We could not use, it would take a two-thirds vote of the city council or the county board to increase spending in any program or add a new position. The police and fire commission and their powers and their makeup would be changed. The streetcar would in essence be frozen in its place. We couldn't use any tax levy dollars to expand its footprint. School resource officers and MPS, there's, you know, 6, 7, 8 different types of reports or audits. So what I don't like about that, one of the reasons why I voted no is that those are all unique to Milwaukee under this bill. So we're sending additional revenue to other communities around the state, but they have a different set of rules that they have to live by to receive that new money. Ours is substantially longer, right? Those rules of what we can and cannot do is different. And I don't like that. I don't like being treated different. And if it's good enough for the city of Waukesha or the city of Rhinelander to meet their rules, I think just apply those same rules to us and be over.
I will tell you this, man. I concur with you 100%. When you're talking about the fact that people should be able to govern, you know, we've elected people in the representative government for those people to be able to do our bidding, then why should that be interfered with by people who don't even live where we live? There's clearly something in that, Evan, that stinks to high heaven. And to Devin Lemieux's credit, you know, I don't know. I don't know the people who are in Madison, you know, who live in the different townships and places around this state. I don't know any of them, especially those in politics. And so I've always looked at it from the perspective that many of them have done everything within their power under the Scott Walker regime and others to punish our city. And to see that there's somebody now, even not knowing the why fours or any of those reasons, why Devin Lemieux is a guy who is agreeing to challenge some of these things that aren't right, encourages me that there are others in this state who think that right is right and wrong is wrong, no matter whether it's blue or red.
Right. Well, let me tell you a little bit about when the state assembly debated this bill on the floor. A number of Republican representatives stood up to speak in favor of the provisions. And they spoke about the revenue that needs to be sent back to their rural communities. And they're right. This system we call shared revenue of how the state supports local government has not been modified for 20 years. And that hurts Milwaukee. That also hurts small rural communities as well. So nobody's, you know, we're not saying it doesn't need to be fixed, but none of them got up and said, it's important to me to say Milwaukee can't do diversity, equity, and inclusion with their property tax money. It's not what the bill was about, right? They were a yes because they're delivering revenue to the communities they need. When I talk to my Republican colleagues, no one, not one of them, has ever said, I would only vote for money for my community if it means you can't have a streetcar anymore. So why are these provisions in here that isolate Milwaukee? Now, I've been in office for 11 years. I'm not so naive anymore to believe that there would be absolutely no strings attached. Okay, so we can have a conversation about what we could live with. And for me, when I spoke on the assembly floor, it is relatively normal for when states enact a local option sales tax that they put some guardrails around that so the money can be used for its purpose and that there's some accountability and transparency to ensure that's happening. Okay, let's do that. If it's about our budget and how we're what we're getting, you know, the money that we're receiving, how we're spending, fine. But these other things, how we run our police and fire, the streetcar, diversity, equity, they have nothing to do with the sales tax. They have nothing to do with how we budget. You know, that's just they're just political points being scored in a bill.
You know,
they have no business in it.
So I have heard the speaker, Robin Voss, say on conservative talk radio, we can't trust the people in Milwaukee to spend the money right. He said this publicly and felt as if, and he was so emboldened that he would say that publicly over the airwaves. And I became so incensed at that because it wasn't the first time I heard him say that. That I reached out to his people and tried to get him on the air to challenge the fact that he could make those kinds of statements arrogantly and not be challenged on it. And so he and many others believe across the state that Milwaukee is getting more money from the state than it should be getting, and they're being shortchanged everywhere else across the state. Can you clarify that for us, please, sir?
Yeah, that is so those sentiments, and I hope if I don't listen to conservative talk radio, but if he comes on your show, I will tune
in. He doesn't have the courage. But go ahead.
So yes, that sentiment, that resentment, that divisiveness is there, right? You can pick it up in the atmosphere of Wisconsin that politicians have exploited that for a long time, this kind of us versus them mentality. And it's not, you know, both sides, I think, can be guilty of it at times, but there is in Wisconsin a very anti-Milwaukee. There's an old saying in politics, millions for Milwaukee, pennies for Polk. Polk County is a northwest rural county. And that was a Democrat that said that way back when, you know. So the sentiment that the money all flows to Milwaukee is very real. It's very longstanding, and it's very inaccurate. It's wrong. You know, we generate the most wealth by far, and our entire region exists and is prosperous because the city of Milwaukee exists and generates that prosperity. And that's the kind of fight that we're having, Earl. Right? That is that as we work on this proposal, that's the sentiment that we're the water we're swimming upstream against, the current, you know?
You know, man, you were just last week, your microphone was shut off in the debate. I could never do your job, man. You know, it takes, you know, a person with the kind of character that you have. Let's talk a little bit about
that. Well, we're opening it up. You know, first I put ice in a glass. and then I squeezed a little lime and I put a little gin and a little tonic. That helped at night.
But the fact that you're, you know, on the floor and you're having a debate and a conversation and the guy doesn't want to hear anything you have to say, because, you know, dialogue does not matter. Let's talk a little bit about how that makes you feel.
We struck a nerve. What the debate was in joint finance. You know, the Republicans for 50 years have chased this policy to overturn Roe versus Wade. And now that they've done it, they've got no idea what to do next. They are like completely torn in circles. I mean, I've been a part of a couple conversations with a couple Republicans, and they know they're just they don't have a clue what to do. So what we were arguing about was paid family and medical leave. You're going to force somebody to have a baby. The least you could do is literally the least you could do is to have some kind of state mechanism and policy that that she or the family could get
right
paid time off to care for their newborn baby. And they weren't having it. And what the moment my mic was shut off was that I was quoting their candidate, Tim Michaels, from November, who endorsed the policy. He said he'd support it and get it done because, you know, I don't know if he really knew what he was agreeing to or not, but, you know, it pissed them off something special and they turned my microphone off, which I can't remember that ever happening before.
You know, the insanity with that way of thinking, Representative Gorky, is that the last time I checked, Republicans have babies too.
Yes, now, and families, and they have people that need the benefit. Let me say the last thing on this issue. I am grateful. I am thankful and grateful that Senator Howard Markline turned off my microphone. He thought he was reducing the volume of the debate, but he increased it. Right, because he actually thrust the argument for paid family leave front and center in a way that if had he not shut me up through muting my microphone, he wouldn't have had. The more they do that, that's what my response was. The more they do that kind of stuff, the more elections they're going to lose because it makes people pay attention. The point of that story is not about a speech. It is not about a microphone being turned off. It's about the fact that hundreds of thousands of working people in Wisconsin deserve paid time off when their relative gets sick or they have a baby.
So,
period. Full stop.
So when you, and this is moving back to the last discussion, when the county executive of Waukesha says that we're not receiving enough resources and we don't like the fact that you're trying to tell us what we can spend the money on. Last time I checked, the county executive of Waukesha and the people in Waukesha where this radio station is located, they're not Democrats, right?
No, and there were three assembly Republicans that voted against that local government funding shared revenue bill, probably following Paul Farrow's lead.
Yeah, and so, you know, listen, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. State Representative Evan Gorky is on the line, and I'm glad he's here. We'll be right back. Nobody kissed me like you do. I never knew your love to be so good.
Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with highs around 85. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tonight, lows dip down to about 59. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 87. Temperatures well above average Thursday and Friday, with highs in the upper 80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 71.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
I have heard all about Loveland and all of its mentions, but I know I'll never get to Loveland unless I'm wrapped up in your arms. Got to take me with you, please take me with you.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Texas is that same number. My guest is State Representative Gary Gorky. Evan Gorky.
It happens all the time.
That's a large shadow, man, you're under.
Well, I have won more elections than he ever did. So I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best.
Look, man. Part of this, the Assembly Republicans approved this 15% increase in a state aid bump across most of the governments, except for Milwaukee. What was Milwaukee's percentage?
We will, under their proposal, we would receive 10% increase.
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, man. You know, that really is. Can you explain how they can come to that point?
No, not effectively. Man, I don't get it.
Come
I don't
on,
get
man.
It.
And
I think, Earl, the legislation creates a floor. No community, you know, Milwaukee 10%, no community other than Milwaukee less than 15%. But there are communities that are receiving a much, much, much larger percentage increase.
2,000, 3,000% increase.
Now, to be fair, the dollar amounts are different, right? What Milwaukee receives in aid, $221 million a year versus a small township, probably $100,000. But the point is, we're being singled out.
Yeah. Let's go to Marty from Milwaukee. Good morning, Marty. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning to your guest. Earl, I really appreciate you covering this, but I have to say, I am so underwhelmed and appalled by the class of journalism with regard to this issue of the pension system. Now, I only know Milwaukee's pension system. I do not know Milwaukee County. But what I see happening is that the state legislature is conflating Milwaukee County's problems with the city of Milwaukee's pension problems. And what a real good question I wish somebody would ask in the paper or at the state legislature is, why is there a discrepancy in the payout in the pension system in the city of Milwaukee? The aldermen get a 56% better pension than the garbage man, than the water worker, than the healthcare nurse, than the guy fixing the lights, why does the city of Milwaukee's aldermen and officials and, excuse me, officers of the city get a better pension than the people? And nobody knows this.
Well,
a 56% better pension.
I'll honestly tell you, I did not know. And if that is the case, I will look into it, and you best believe I'm going to be making some noise about it, Marty. You want to respond to that?
Yeah,
Evan.
Well, I think it's. I hope it'd be great to have a guest on that is involved with the city pension, because I do agree with the caller sentiment in the lack of understanding, and it's hard. I mean, it's complicated. It's kind of nerdy and wonky, and I don't think newspapers, you know, they've got to rely on subscriptions and clicks, but somebody's got to tell the truth about what's going on. The only other comment that I'd have about the pension is, remember, at the city, some of the entities, you know, the largest entities that are the largest number of pensioners are part of collective bargaining units in their union that bargain for what that pension structure looks like, and have had that as a feature of what the pension looks like for a police officer or a firefighter or a general employee. I can't comment directly on the alderman garbageman comparison because I just don't know, but it'd be good to have somebody on to explain, you know, all those details.
Consider it done. I'm going to be looking into that this afternoon, Marty. Appreciate it. Thank you. You know, Evan, the other part of it is, it was also Madison that took away the percentage of the pension that police and fire would have to pay or used to pay towards their pensions. They didn't do that for anybody else, just police and fire. And I think there's something to be said about the fact, look, nobody said that we don't support police and fire, but people make decisions to be policemen and firemen. And so it doesn't mean that then they should automatically get all these perks that other people don't. That's a decision that people make.
And what we bargained for those things for a long time as a city.
Right.
One feature, this was my very first session in office in 2013, the state legislature prohibited residency, right? That was always something, okay, the city maybe would give an enhancement on a pension or a salary or healthcare benefit in exchange for retaining residency, because we wanted those, you know, those are upper middle income earners. Right. We wanted them in our neighborhoods. And I don't know what the exact number is now, but I'm told when I talk to city leaders that, you know, the number of sworn officers
gotta be 70%
has fallen.
Yeah, well, it's
fallen, yeah.
And so they, and that was not their business, right? But they made it their business on the state level to cripple our city. And listen, man, it's we got to have you on again. Time just flew. And man, you got to commit to spending a little more time with us.
Okay. I'll have some house updates. And, you know, we can delve into some other stuff. Happy to be back on whenever.
Yeah, man, I will be reaching out to you. Thank you very much, man. Continue to work on the mausoleum. And
what it feels like, it's probably what it will be. But yeah, thank you for all you do. I'll be tuning in when you have Robin Voss on, and hopefully, you know, my last words are, my final comment is, I'm just going to continue to try to get to yes, because we do need a fix, and it's just got to be an appropriate one for us, and we'll keep working on it.
All right. Keep up the good work, man. Kiss the baby.
Thanks,
tell
girl.
The wife I said hello. And tell
you have a great
mom
day.
And dad hello. All right. Got to go.
I will.
We'll
Take
be
care,
back. Man. Been tuned. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
Take me with you, baby. Yeah. Got to take and beat about the hand. Tell me, baby. I'm your lover, man. Together we go where we'll stop. Everybody will know. We got to take it with him. Ooh, got to take me with.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finn.